Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today from AT&T Park in San Francisco, we're going to talk about the Giants' bullpen with left-hander Tony Watson and newcomer right-hander Ray Black. We're also going to hear from Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Let's start with a conversation I had in the Giants clubhouse with left-hander Tony Watson. Tony, you're having a great season, the first half of the season with the San Francisco Giants. What's it been like for you being with this new team, and what do you think are some of the keys to your success so far?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a great, the guys were very welcoming in spring training, and knew a lot of these guys just from playing against them, and some of them actually played with them in fall league and stuff a while back. But the relationship's been great. It's a great clubhouse, great group of veteran guys, and figured I'd fit in well here, and I have, and it's been a lot of fun. And the team's been playing great. We're battled some injuries, persevered. And the first half, we're within striking distance, so that's all we can really ask for. And just keep playing hard and try to finish strong into the break. And when we come out in the second half, we try to get on a little roll and get this thing going into August. So, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of trust in Buster and Nick and what they're doing back there, and it's really helped me out a lot.
One of those injuries was Hunter Strickland. So how did that change around the bullpen? How does that affect you and the other guys in there?
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Strick's working hard. He's going to be back here for us, and that'll be a nice shot in the arm for us when he gets back. But, everybody's just kind of pulling their weight, and each guy's pulling his own and trying to pull the rope. And from whenever the starter's been doing a great job lately and getting us deep into games. So, just – pass the baton to each guy, and whatever the coach wants to do that night, matchup wise, just keep pulling your weight and doing your job and going out there and getting your outs.
You mentioned the experience factor. How much does that help in the bullpen when you do have some changing roles? I mean, it looks like Will Smith, he just stepped in once he came off the DL, and he was fine, and he can really do anything, including closing games.
Yeah, Smitty's been huge, especially year after Tommy John. It's been, he worked hard to get back, and, he's always had great stuff, pitched against him, and then in El Central when he was in Milwaukee and I was in Pittsburgh, so seeing him firsthand what he can do and what he's capable of doing over a season. And, we've got a lot of experience down there. Sammy, Mark's back, pitching well, Maranta. We just lost Gear into the trade, but, he was doing well, and, yeah, it's just good arms. We got Ray Black up here now throwing 100, so that's fun to watch. It seems like every bullpen's got a 100-mile-an-hour arm now, and we got ours. So, it's fun, and, it's a good group of guys. We all get along down there. We're all pushing and challenging each other, so feeding off each other and just going out there and doing your job and getting your outs.
Speaking of Ray Black, what a difference between his first outing and his second outing. You can only imagine how nervous he must have been for that one out of that first outing. Can you take us back to when you first took the mound? First major league outing, you get out there, there's 40,000 people in the stands. I mean, it's got to be nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it is. There's another stadium on top of the stadium that you're used to in AAA. It's, three decks instead of the two, and the energy is a little different, and you got your family and friends in town, and you want to do well, and you want to get the jitters out of the way. But no matter what, that first time, there's always going to be jitters, and there's always going to be the extra adrenaline. So, last night he looked great. He was in the zone, and what everybody talked about, the strikeouts and the electric stuff. So. It's fun to watch. I'm glad he's on our team, and I'm glad he's in our bullpen because he could be a huge asset for us down the stretch. And it's from what I understand, he's battled a lot of injuries over his career. So to see him battle adversity and get here and pitch in the big leagues is it's a lot of fun, and those are the types of guys that you root for, and I'm really happy that he's in our bullpen.
What kind of appreciation do all of you guys have for somebody like Derek Holland, who, you know, can go into the bullpen briefly and then go make a start, and a great start that he did against the Cubs? I mean, it's not always easy to make that adjustment back and forth.
Yeah, that's impressive. Not everybody can do that, and, you know, his workload the last couple of days or week or whatever was a little bit different from what he's used to. So for him to just be a pitcher and put his ego aside and go out there and do whatever he needs to do for the team is pretty special. You know, says a lot about him. And last night he was great. That's a really good hitting club over there in the Cubs. And, you know, he went pitch to pitch with Quintana over there and, you know, was matching zeros, and then you know, unfortunately got the hit. But you know, it's, you know, for what he did, if you look back on his last week and his out of the bullpen and then an inning and two innings and whatever it was, and then to go out there and toe the slab and go into the seventh inning is it's pretty special.
When you were with Pittsburgh and even with the Dodgers last year, what have you noticed about teams that are successful for the second half push? I mean, what does a team need to do? I mean, there's always going to be injuries. You get tired as you go down the stretch, but the games become so important.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is experience. You hit on it, the tired and the injuries. The good teams figure out a way to overcome that stuff. You know, each night matters. You know, it's not series to series. It's every night, and you're figuring out a way to win tonight or today. And you don't worry about yesterday. You don't worry about tomorrow. You just focus on today. I know it sounds cliche, and everybody says it, but the good veteran clubs, I think the ones that know how to get deep into October, and this team does, that's what their focus is figuring out a way to win each inning and win today and or tonight. And, you know, I think that's what we have in this room.
What did it mean to you personally to be part of a World Series team last year in the Dodgers? You guys came so close to winning it all. So, you know, what does that mean for you going forward?
Well, it's just, the experience. You know, we didn't get the ring, so that was frustrating. But to be able to say that you pitched in big games down the stretch in October, prove to yourself that you can do it that late in the season and go out there on one of the biggest stages in sports and perform. You know, it helps build confidence, but it also, going forward, I mean, it was, you know, that free agency came, I was looking for a club that, you know, was looking to go into October and make a run, and this club definitely has that. So, you know, just more experience. I think if you look around this room, a lot of these guys have that too, and that's what makes this group special, I think.
Couple things before I let you go. One is, you know, for any reliever, when you come out there, if you walk the first batter, it's got to be difficult. I've talked to a few relief pitchers in here about that. How do you recover from that? Because, I mean, that's the one thing you always think. A guy just comes into the game, the last thing you want to see is a walk.
A leadoff walk, yeah, they're never good. But, you know, the biggest thing, especially late in the game, depending on the score, you're just looking for, you know, get that ground ball, and especially with our infielders, you know, get that ground ball, get the ball on the ground, and get that double play. And but most importantly, just get back in the zone, focus on making an executing a pitch, and you know, good things are going to happen.
What are you doing during the All-Star break?
And we're going to relax. We're going to check out the city here, and we got some things lined up. So we got two small kids, so they're excited to have dad home for 4 days, and it'll be a lot of fun.
It's a great city to hang out in for a few days when you don't have to worry about playing a baseball game, right?
That's absolutely right. So we're going to be tourists, and we're going to check everything out.
All right, have fun. Thanks a lot, Tony. Appreciate it, and good luck.
Thanks for having me.
That's Giants lefty Tony Watson. Coming up, we'll hear from Ray Black. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now let's get to the conversation I had on Wednesday before the Giants finished up their series with the Chicago Cubs with right-hander Ray Black. Ray, first off, congratulations on making your Major League debut. Now, a couple of outings under your belt, and certainly a big difference between the first one and the second one. So tell us what went on in that first outing. I can only imagine there was a lot of adrenaline and nervousness going on.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, first outing, came into the stadium, you know, maybe a little bit too much adrenaline going for that first game. Looking up, seeing 40,000 people for sure is new to me. But, you know, I went out there that first day, tried being a little bit too fine. You know, I give hitters a lot of credit. Obviously, at this level, they're the best in the world. And tried nibbling a little bit, fell behind in some counts, and, you know, it led to a couple walks. And, you know, it seemed like the one guy I was able to challenge kind of tagged me for it. And, you know, I just went out there last night with a different mentality that, hey, you know, I've done things that have worked at both levels in AA and AAA. You know, I faced some big league hitters down in AAA and able to get them out, you know, attacking the zone, trusting my stuff, trusting my fastball. And, you know, I think a little bit of the nerves calmed down. I felt a little bit more comfortable last night through my mechanics, just letting the ball fly again. And, you know, the results are definitely better as well.
Yeah. I mean, that second outing was great. I mean, I guess you can see that major league hitters can hit 100 miles an hour if they're looking for it, like Matt Carpenter had to be looking for that pitch. But it's still got to be tough for them, and especially because you have this slider. So how do you intend on going after the hitters? Because they're never going to know what to look for if you have the fastball at 100 and then that slider.
Right. I mean, I talked to a lot of hitters myself and on the team and asked guys, you know, we'll ask in all pitchers, what are you looking for off me? What do you think? And then, I mean, every single guy I talked to is – like, I'm looking for your fastball, and, you know, you're throwing me off speed, you know, I'm going to tip my cap if you're throwing it over the plate. And for me, again, it's just trusting that off-speed stuff. You know, if I could get ahead with it or use it in counts where, you know, they're sitting fastball or they're swinging dead red, you know, if I'm around the zone with it, I might be able to get some swings at it. So going forward, you know, mixing my pitches is going to be huge. It's still going to be fastball coming at you, you know. I mean, that's kind of what I do. It's a little bit more of a power pitching halves of the plate, you know, getting away from trying to hit black every time, and just trusting my off-speed stuff, throwing it around the zone and in the zone, and it should play, you know, for success for me.
So did you work on the off-speed stuff a lot, you know, going into the season and then when you started out the year in AA Richmond?
Yeah, I mean, especially early on in AA, I was working on trying to get that secondary stuff down. I felt a lot more comfortable this year throwing my fastball. You know, I'm confident that I can throw it for a strike whenever I need to. And so it lends me the opportunity to throw those off-speed pitches behind the count. You know, Schwarber last night, I was 2-1 on and was able to throw a curveball in there. Yeah, I just missed with it, but 3-1 able to come back and still throw two quality fastballs to, you know, get him out. And, I mean, that's a relief to me because if I'm able to throw those off-speed pitches in fastball counts, so it kind of gets the hitters guessing a little bit more and they're, you know, maybe they're not so timed up on that heater.
I think it makes a difference, too, when you're close with an off-speed pitch, breaking ball, and maybe you miss, but it's close. It's not like one of those pitches that's way outside or way inside, and, you know, the guy just knows, well, he's not going to be able to get this pitch over. If you're showing that it's close enough, that's in the back of their mind?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's why I talk to hitters. They say, you know, if you can show a good one in the first couple pitches of the inning, it gets guys thinking, oh, man, he could come back to that. You know, 1-2, you might be able to get a fastball by somebody where – you know, if you haven't shown an off-speed pitch yet in the outing or you weren't close to it, you know, that 1-2 pitch, they may just be sitting dead red on you. So, yeah, it just goes back to pitching. And, you know, I'm blessed that I have a good fastball, and it's just something I've lived with pretty much my whole career, and I'm going to continue to live with. But, you know, throwing that breaking ball in there, it makes life a lot easier.
Let's talk about your journey. I mean, you've had surgeries. There was a time, I know, before this season where you considered just hanging them up. So I would have to imagine that getting to the major leagues here is validation for the decision that you made. So, you know, just tell us about how much it was worth it to go through everything to get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's gratifying to be here. I mean, I not even 6 months ago, I was, you know, pretty much wrestling the idea of retirement and thinking, you know, that was going to be it for me, and here I am. But, you know, the surgeries, the injuries, it's tough because it's not just an effect on myself. It's an effect on my family. It's an effect on my relationships, my friends, my wife. You know, everybody has to deal with it. It's not just me. And I felt like I was putting a lot of people through a lot of difficult times when, you know, I wasn't exactly the happiest of guys sitting in Arizona rehabbing as other people were out playing on the field. I mean, you know, I had faith throughout the whole process that, you know, I truly believe that this was an ability that was given to me by God, the fact that I can throw the way that I can, and I just kept the faith through the process that, you know, see it through, and it was going to be worth it. And, you know, getting here was my end goal. You know, I'm not going to lie, to get to the big leagues, and, you know, I've made it now, and obviously now the new goal is to stay here, but I mean, to be able to reach that after all I've been through, it's truly emotional.
When did you first start throwing so hard? I mean, when did you realize that you could throw 100 miles an hour?
As actually after my shoulder surgery in 2012, I had it. I was drafted by the Giants in 11. I threw it in strokes that year. You know, I was 95 guy in college. I touched 97, sometimes 98, but you know, I never hit that 100 mark. You know, I'd always felt like maybe there's something wrong in my shoulder. It was nagging a little bit here or there, and catching every once in a while. And you know, eventually got to the point where I wasn't able to throw. And you know, training staff would look at me like I was crazy because you know I was still throwing like 92 miles an hour, but I was convinced there was something wrong. You know, I got that fixed and come back throwing, you know, the triple digits. And that was the first time I'd ever hit it, was after I got my shoulder repaired. And, you know, made me feel a little bit more sane as well, because the whole time I was throwing, saying, hey, I'm hurt, they're saying, you're fine, you're throwing 92, you're throwing 93. And I was like, I'm telling you, there's more in there. But, you know, that was the first time that I hit the triple digits. And, you know, I've kind of continued from there with rehab programs and strength programs, again, with the trainers here and stuff. I mean, I think that's what's trying to maintain that now.
That's the first time I've heard that, because I've heard about Tommy John surgery and pitchers throwing harder after that. But after shoulder surgery, I don't know that I've ever heard that. Have you heard about other cases like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's exceptionally rare. I mean, I was told that, you know, I'd have a 1 in 3 chance of coming back to my former self. And I guess less than 10% of labrum guys come back throwing harder. You know, usually your shoulder's a difficult thing to recover from. I mean, I had the best in the business helping me through. You know, Dr. Okazuki, our team surgeon, was the one who did the surgery. You know, Tony Rally here had PT, was able to rehab me through the whole process. Obviously, you know, I had everything at my fingertips to kind of get back. And it's just a credit to everybody else that have helped me on the path. I mean, I didn't know anything about shoulder surgery or rehab. I just did what I was told, and they're the ones who got me here.
Once you're throwing 100, I would think the tendency for any normal human being would be that, okay, I'm throwing 100. I'm just going to blow this by everybody. So when did you realize that, hey, it is important to throw those off-speed pitches we were talking about earlier, and you know, developing that? And how did you go about it? Because you know, you always have that 100-mile-an-hour fastball at your disposal, but, man, it becomes even more difficult, you know, almost impossible for a hitter when you can throw the breaking ball.
Yeah, I mean, I try watching guys that throw hard and what works for them. And you know, pitchers usually study guys that they're similar to. You know, sinker ballers look at sinker ballers. For me, I look at power arms and what they do to be successful. You know, what's the difference between, you know, a guy like Kimbrel and Chapman? Those guys have electric stuff. You know, how do they, you know, pitch with it, though? And you watch their outings, and it's not just fastball, you know, 5 in a row, 6 in a row. They're mixing speeds. They're mixing locations. They're up, they're down in the zone. You know, these are things that they use to succeed, because there's a lot of guys in the minor leagues, I'll tell you this, that throw 100. I mean, just about every team we faced in Sacramento had a guy or two that were touching triple digits now. It's not, you know, I mean, it's still very rare, but it's not as uncommon as it used to be. And I think the thing that separates the guys that can stay in the big leagues and the guys that, you know, necessarily can't isn't so much fastball location as it is that off-speed stuff, that secondary stuff. You know, they have something else to go to, because these are the best hitters in the world, and you know, they see 2, 3, 4 fastballs in a row and they know it's coming. They're going to be able to time it up.
Do you ever feel like you have to take something off the fastball to get it over for a strike, or is that detrimental because then you're doing something to your mechanics and you're not throwing as hard as you can?
Yeah, that's usually it. I mean, sometimes I always hear people say, why don't you just throw a little bit slower and throw it over the corner every time? It's like, yeah, I wish pitching was that easy. Like, I'm just going to, you know, throw 95 on the corners all day. You know, for me, just the way my arm works, the way my mechanics time up, you know, if I think about overthrowing or underthrowing, it usually leads to, you know, chaos, to be honest. And that was where I was my last outing. I didn't trust my stuff. I didn't trust my mechanics. I was trying to place the ball over the plate. You know, I ended up walking two guys. And, you know, the one guy, like I said, Carpenter tagged me. And you know, it was a learning experience, a tough one, but still it's something you can take away from that game that, hey, I'm going to trust my stuff, and that's what I did last night, and I intend to do as I continue forward.
What kept you going? You know, everybody talks about the love of the game, and you had a tough decision to make. You got family and everything, but were there a couple of reasons why you just kept going and, you know, knowing that you had that opportunity to get to this point?
Well, my dad always jokes with me, and, you know, he tells me you can come back and work on the farm anytime you want to. And that, you know, that's backbreaking. That's tough work. That's, you know, that's real work. And so to me, so long as I had the opportunity, I was going to continue. You know, whether it was pain free or whether it was velocity, one or the other, I had to have something to keep going forward. So when I lost both, you know, when I was in pain and I was throwing slower, that's when the thought crossed my mind. But, you know, like I said from the beginning, I just think that I had enough faith to truly believe that everything I've went through was – there was a reason behind it. And like I said, whether this lasts a week or a month or 10 years, I mean, the ability to say that I reached my end goal through everything that I've been through is powerful for me.
I know you grew up in Pennsylvania, so were you a Phillies fan, Pirates fan? Who were the sports teams that you rooted for?
Well, we were right between New York City and Philadelphia. We're about 2 hours from both. But I actually ended up becoming a Boston Red Sox fan because everybody loved Derek Jeter. And so I wanted to go with Nomar Garciaparra to be different. And Nomar ended up being my favorite player growing up. And so I was a Boston fan, all the way up until high school. And then once I kind of reached college, you know, baseball, I started to try and look at it as more as an educational purpose, not so much as being a fan of the game, but trying to study the game, be a student of the game. And so that's when I kind of lost ties with my Boston Red Sox.
Did you play shortstop too? I mean, as well as pitcher?
I grew up playing shortstop, yeah. I don't think I could at any other level now that I look back at it. But, throughout high school I played short, you know, some travel teams, things like that. But I was never bound to be a hitter. I knew my job was going to be on the mound.
Well, this guy here is pretty good in San Francisco. People may have heard of him, Brandon Crawford. I mean, he's just unbelievable. He put on a clinic the other day at shortstop. He's going to the All-Star game. How much have you studied his abilities?
I mean, you just watch the guy play back there, and it gives you confidence as a pitcher. You know that, you know, you got some of the best in the world behind you, and I mean, Crawford's best at what he does. It's incredible to watch him play. You know, the barehanded play he made the other night, I mean, it's incredible, the agility to have just to time that up, feet off the ground, make the barehanded play, and throw it across the diamond. It seems like he's making a web gem every night for us. I mean, you know, much deserved all-star. I mean, what else can you really say?
Last thing, you come up here and there are maybe more young players here than people realize around baseball, because people talk about the Giants being a veteran team, but there are some young guys that are really producing now. I mean, Suarez and Rodriguez in the rotation, Slater's up here, Duggar just got called up when you did. So it looks like the young guys are getting an opportunity. Was that meaningful for you? Kind of give you some confidence that, yeah, the Giants are giving young guys a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get called up here, and whatever role it may be, you know, you want to just go out there and do your job the best of your ability. I said that when I was in SAC as well. You know, wherever the Giants have me, that's where I'm going to pitch, and that's where I'm going to work. And, you know, having the other guys here, the faces, the, you know, familiarity with playing with these guys down in Sacramento before coming up is great. You know, breaking into the clubhouse, getting to know everybody, getting to know the guys. You know, it's a family atmosphere here. You know, the vets make it great. You know, us younger guys feel like we're at home here already, you know, just a few days in. It's just an incredible experience. It really is a family-type team.
Thanks so much, Ray, for the time, and good luck the rest of the way. Congrats on getting here again.
Thank you very much.
That's Giants righty Ray Black. Before the Giants-Cubs game, I also had a chance to ask manager Bruce Bochy about whether or not he feels comfortable using Black in high-leverage situations now that he pitched better his second outing.
You know, there's a grace period there where you break them in and let them get a sense of comfort out there. You know, the first one you kind of throw out because you know they're going to be amped up. But it was impressive last night, the way he pitched. He used his breaking ball well along with the big fastball, and that's what he's got to do. So I'm sure he's a lot more comfortable the second time out. But to answer your question, sure. He's going to be up here to help us in close ball games.
I also asked Bruce Bochy about Buster Posey and how the hip injury has affected the All-Star catcher throughout the first half of the season.
It's hard to quantify. I don't know how much. It's affected him, though, no question. As you've heard me say so many times, I mean, you're at 100%. This game's not easy, but yeah, you're dealing with a hip thing that flares up on you occasionally. It's going to, you know, affect ability to fire that hip like you normally do. And, you know, it's going to cost you a little power. It's going to, you know, even take its toll on you behind the plate.
Bochy was also asked about the Giants' outfield defense with the addition of Steven Duggar.
Yeah, really, three guys that play center field. That's always a good thing when you look at your defense in the outfield. So I think it gives us a lot of range. You know, they're all gifted athletes. They cover a lot of ground, and they all throw well. So, you know, I think it's a very good defensive outfield.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Want to thank him and our two guests from inside the Giants clubhouse, Tony Watson and Ray Black. Later on this week, we'll chat with Ray Woodson, so join us for that here on Inside China Basin. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.